You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. I'm also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where you can check out most of my work. I had an article go up the other day, so it's worth checking out, about big man pairings with Anthony Davis. What do they need? Do they have the right fit here in New Orleans, or are they still searching for an answer? Definitely worth a read. Might give you a little bit of insight onto what's going on with Anthony Davis, his team overall. Why does the offense struggle at times, the defense struggle at times? But that's not what this episode of Locked On Pelicans is going to be about at all. It's going to be about the Pelicans being 0-4, falling to the Bucks 117-113 last night in the Smoothie King Center. Their second loss at home, fourth overall of the year. Looks like playoffs. You know, you don't want to call anything after four games, but I mean, come on. This is going to be an uphill battle for this team going forward. They're certainly looking at, you know, a 1-8 start and an 0-9 start. So today we're going to talk about, you know, who played well. Obviously, Anthony Davis did. A few other guys did as well. Bit of a surprise there. But we're really going to dive into why this team lost. A lot of people are pinning the blame in certain areas. I think they're kind of wrong. There's one main culprit, which we're going to really jump into today and talk about that. And I'll also give you a quick preview for tonight's game in Memphis. Second night of a back-to-back for the Pelicans. Really have a rough start to the season so far. So that's what we're going to talk about. The game last night, we'll be talking about why it kind of ended up the way it did. Who's really to blame here? If there is one person you can blame. And then, like I said, we'll recap, preview, some of the Memphis game for you, give you just kind of a quick primer on what to watch for tonight. Also, if you've been enjoying the podcast, please definitely, you know, subscribe to it on Audioboom or through iTunes, or have it set up to download to your phone automatically. I use the app Stitcher. That's been my favorite one. This is the way I can listen to all the podcasts that I listen to with the Locked On Podcast Network, whether that's Locked On NBA, which is going to give you a great overview of the NBA as a whole, or Locked On Saints, where I get all my whodad information that I need. You know, these podcasts have been wonderful to do. I've really enjoyed listening to other ones on the network to get some ideas on what to talk about, say, for game previews, things like that. Make sure I'm up to date with all the news on every team in the league. No one else has given you this kind of information at all. No one. So definitely, if you see it on iTunes, rate us 5 stars. I would love that. Subscribe to it. We want to get the listener base as high as possible. And like I said, no one is going to give you this kind of insight. You'll read articles here and there, but no one's going to dive in daily like I am for you. And I mean this in all modesty. It's been really fun to do. I'm enjoying talking to everyone on Twitter about that. You can always send me feedback. The email address I use is jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. That's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com. I'm always checking that for any feedback anyone has. But like I said, make sure you're subscribing. Make sure you're getting the episodes daily. I'm having them come out around 6 a.m. Central Time for you all, so you can get them if you go running in the morning for your commute to work. Occasionally, there'll be times they're going to be a little bit later, but make sure you're listening to them on your drive home from work. I try and not go over 20 minutes because I know we want to keep this kind of bite-sized and being daily. You want your news, but you don't need to spend 3 hours doing it, especially when the team's 0-4. So please, again, make sure you're rating us 5 stars, you're subscribing, you're sharing it with people, even if that's sharing it with one friend who's a Pelicans fan. I would love it if they were listening to this as well. So I do really appreciate everyone's being so supportive with it. And let's keep this going so far as we kind of dive into the season. So before I get into the recap and what went wrong last night and why did the Pelicans walk out of the Smoothie King Center with a 4-point loss, I do want to mention SeatGeek to you guys. You know, I've mentioned it before. I'm going to keep mentioning it because it's the service I use. I have the app on my phone. I find it absolutely wonderful. SeatGeek is absolutely the best way to get tickets to any game you want to go to. Heck, if you even want to go to a concert, they're the way to go to get tickets. They're like Kayak. I had to travel this past weekend. I used Kayak to book my flight, where Kayak's going to aggregate all the different flights for you and show you all the flights and all the prices. So I made sure I picked the cheapest one and the one I wanted with the right layover and the right connection and all of that. SeatGeek's going to do the same thing. It's going to aggregate all of these tickets on various different sites. Sometimes people only list them on one site. You might miss it if you check another site. Use SeatGeek. They're going to show them all to you. What they also do is they're going to give them a grade, A through F, depending on the value and price. They want to make sure you're getting the most for your money as well. That's really important. You work hard for it. Make sure you're taking advantage. And SeatGeek's the best way to do that, to make sure you're not missing any of the action and make sure you're in the Smoothie King Center for any game. Make sure you're in the Superdome for any of the Saints games. It's been wonderful. That's how I've ended up going to all of the Saints home games this year, except for the one against Seattle when I was flying back. And we have a great thing going on for Locked On Pelicans listeners. If you download the SeatGeek app and go to settings, where it asks you for a promo code, put in LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans, LO Pelicans. You're going to get a $20 rebate just for the first purchase you make. That's an absolutely wonderful thing. You're getting some free money back. When you get that check in the mail, you're going to feel great. Use it, you know, for beer or concessions, whatever it is in there. Those things can get expensive. Make this a little bit cheaper on you. So make sure you download the SeatGeek app, go to settings, put in the promo code LO Pelicans, and you're going to get your $20 rebate. So a 117-113 loss for the New Orleans Pelicans to the Milwaukee Bucks last night in the Smoothie King Center, obviously leading the Pelicans to an 0-4 start, not what they want. They said they were desperate for a win coming in, weren't able to get it. At least this game was a little bit closer, though. You could see they were in position to lose it, making certain mistakes. But before we touch on that, what went well? And what went well is obviously going to be Anthony Davis. I said in my preview for this the other day that I thought he was going to be in store for a big night, and he definitely was, with 35 points, 15 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 blocks. He's tremendous. He's had tremendous performances, and the Pelicans are kind of wasting them now. Through 4 games, Anthony Davis has 148 points, and that's the most by a player in NBA history whose team has lost their first 4 games. That's a bad stat. Anthony Davis has put up more points in 4 games, and then they're starting off 0-4. I mean, come on, what more can this guy do? He's showing he can do it all. He's coming out aggressive like he, you know, wasn't really last season. He's making an effort more so defensively than he has done before, and the Pelicans just aren't able to get any help. This is why you see a lot of national media and articles and people on Twitter saying he has no help. And yeah, there's help coming in Jrue Holiday and Tyreke Evans and maybe Quincy Pondexter, but that's not the case right now. They're 0-4. They want to win a game. They want to be competitive. You think Anthony Davis is happy signing this extension and seeing this happen, especially after starting off 1-11 last year? No, he's not. The clock's ticking on this team a little bit. They need to start doing something. You know, are they out of the playoffs? Maybe with an 0-4 start. Not necessarily. But the biggest thing was you wanted to see improvement on this Pelicans team this season. It's a transition year, like I've said. Anthony Davis is doing what he can to show improvement. No one else is really helping him. But in this game, the good news is he did get some help tonight. That's why it's a 4-point loss as opposed to significantly larger, which it could have been depending. Solomon Hill, you know, he's been talking a lot about what he needs to do, and he really came out aggressive tonight. His 3-point shot started falling. He was 3 of 4 from deep. He had 4 assists, 6 rebounds. He had 18 points overall in the game tonight. Through the first 3 games, he only had 10 points. So it shows that he was helping this team. He was really trying to score and do it in different ways than he was before. He wasn't really being as passive as he has been, and that allowed him to kind of get into the lane, attack the rim. It helps that his 3-point shot was falling, you know, for sure. And he finished 5 of 9 overall shooting. 9 shots is about what you want him taking. A little bit more than that, you might be asking him to do too much on offense. So it was nice to see him on offense doing his role properly. The Pelicans are going to need more games like this from him, especially to justify the between $48 and $52 million contract, depending on incentives and who's reporting it. He also played strong defense. He had the best defensive rating on the team tonight. That doesn't mean much when the defensive rating was 111.2. But at least he's playing defense. He's showing why the Pelicans brought him in, you know, to kind of be their wing stopper, this complimentary player on offense. And he definitely did that tonight. He did have 3 big missed free throws down the stretch and late in the fourth quarter. He went 0 for 2 at one point after getting fouled, where the Pelicans really, really needed those 2 points. And then he split a pair a couple, you know, offensive possessions later. You know, overall, he was 5 of 8 from the field. Those just came at inopportune times. It was disappointing, but he had a strong game. I'm happy with Solomon Hill tonight for sure. Another guy who everyone's asked me to talk about is Lance Stephenson, and I know they've all wanted Lance Stephenson to be the savior, to be that cavalry coming over the hill to help this Pelicans team out, but man, he had some bad basketball plays tonight. There was a stretch of basketball where he turned it over twice. He played awful defense, leaving guys open for three-point shots, allowing people to blow by them. He's a nice complimentary role player, but he's not the answer. He's not the answer. I'm going to say that again because I know people really want him to. They say his ceiling's so high, he's still young. Look, we know what he's capable of at this point. You have to live with the bad because it comes with the good, and tonight the bad outweighed the good. That's why he only played 15 minutes, and basically after that rough stretch, you didn't see him at all. There'll be nights when he has good games, but he's not going to be a guy the Pelicans can rely on consistently to kind of take the heat off Anthony Davis, be that go-to scorer. He'll do some good things, but stop hoping for him to be the answer, you guys. Come on now. We got to mention Buddy Hield, and the good thing is he at least made his first three-pointer in the NBA. Other than that, it was a really rough game for him. What's nice to see is that the Pelicans seem really committed to letting him make mistakes, to let him take these shots and miss, to make mistakes on offense. Right now, he's forcing way too much. He showed off his nice ability to get to the basket and attack the rim some, but you can see he's not ready for NBA speed. In college, he'd be able to do what he did tonight. No problem, score, put up a great stat line. In the NBA, you know, where guys are bigger, stronger, faster, more athletic, he's not quite able to do that. It's going to take him some time to figure it out. Just be happy he made his three. He put up 10 points tonight, which was nice to see as well. It was a good game for him kind of in that sense, but he is a very raw prospect right now. I know they said he was the most NBA ready out of all of the guys, and he still might be, but boy, he had a rough night. He needs to just keep going through these growing pains. It'll only get better than this. So his career's not over yet. So unfortunately, he contributed, but it was just really rough. Like I said, forcing things. Once he lets the game come to him, and I know that's a nebulous-sounding thing. I don't even quite know what that means. I'm using this phrase, though. Once he just feels more comfortable in his role, when he's able to take those shots and not get in his head, you could see he was visibly frustrated at times, and you've got to wonder if it was a mental aspect for him. When he hit that first three, he threw his arms up kind of as just like, thank you, finally, this happened. And it was nice to see overall, and after that, he played a little bit looser, a little bit better, and I think that's what you need to see from him. His confidence is going to go up and down, and when his confidence is high, he should have decent games and be a solid contributor for this Pelicans team. So despite this great game from Anthony Davis and this pretty solid game from Solomon Hill, you know, and Tim Frazier putting up 20 points, 9 assists, you had Etuan Moore get back into his scoring mindset. He was 3 of 6 from deep, put in 17 points total. You know, despite all of that, how do the Pelicans manage to lose this game? And that's what we're going to talk about right now. A lot of people I saw on Twitter, I've been talking to a couple people about it, have been pointing to Dante Cunningham. And his it was a plus-minus of minus 14 on the night. And I personally don't like individual plus-minus when you're looking at it on a single-game basis. But that's what people are pointing to. Minus 14, plus-minus. He was the only starter to have a negative plus-minus. The problem was he was the starter tonight mainly because this Bucks team presents matchup problems for Omer Asik. Before the game, Alvin Gentry was asked if they were going to make some changes to the lineup because this team, the Milwaukee Bucks, have some length on them. You know, you've got a 6'11" guy running point guard for you. Goes to show you the length they have, especially with someone like, you know, Jabari Parker, who's so athletic. Tony Snell's 6'7". You got Matthew Dellavedova just running around doing his thing. There's some matchup problems here, and Dante Cunningham seemed to make the most sense. Terrence Jones hasn't played well on defense. Omer Asik would get torched by this team with their length and their athleticism. He's not going to be able to contain him when they're driving to the rim. So it fell to Dante Cunningham to be the spot starter. You know, a lot of people had said they would have liked to see Asik get more time on the court, especially in crunch time, that he would have helped with points in the paint more than Cunningham was. And I'm going to tell you that's not the case. So you got to go to the quote from Anthony Davis, and it was, they had a lot of mental breakdowns, and the key was Giannis, I'm not going to try the last name, got into the paint. Jabari Parker got into the paint, and it was our game plan to keep them out of the paint, and we didn't do that tonight. The points in the paint tonight didn't come from a dominant big who was beasting people down low. This came off drives from the perimeter, getting into the lane, getting into the paint, scoring at the rim. The points in the paint tonight, and the Pelicans gave up 58, which is significant, comes from the perimeter defense. They didn't do a good job of keeping these guys away from the rim. Simple as that. I don't think Omer Asik was going to be able to help them there. He does a whole lot more work when he can defend a bigger, bulkier kind of post-up big. Greg Monroe played 17 minutes tonight. Omer Asik played 13. There's a correlation there. He was brought in to defend against Monroe, who he can do a good job against. He's not going to do a good job against these other guys. Hence why his numbers look good, because he played against people he could dominate and that he could play good defense against. If you look at Giannis, their point guard, so he's starting on the perimeter, 11 shots in the paint. And that's because the perimeter D just let him drive in. He's the point guard. Jabari Parker, 8 shots in the paint. Same reason. He starts off on the three-point line, usually in the corners, and attacks the rim from there. Greg Monroe, in his 17 minutes, was 3 of 6. And he didn't play particularly well because Omer Asik was guarding him in the paint. Sorry, 2 of 6, not 3 of 6. Because Omer Asik was able to neutralize him in that capacity. Omer Asik can't neutralize guys that are just running straight at him. Think about how, you know, the past couple of seasons, we've seen this. It's a perimeter defense that's been the problem. They're just blitzing Anthony Davis and Omer Asik down low, and they can only do so much. Asik's got, you know, his rim defender reputation. Yeah, and that's against other big men, not wing players that are so athletic they're driving where they can jump around him and still score. Heck, on a lot of those Giannis dunks and layups, he's almost outside of the restricted area and his arms are so long that he's able to get the ball in the hoop. That was the problem here, and that's where these 58 points in the paint come from. Yet, you know, Asik played well, and he did well in his limited time against a specific matchup. But overall, the Pelicans needed Cunningham. This game wouldn't have been 4 points without him. He also played the most minutes in the game. So when you look at the minus 14 plus minus, he played the most minutes in the game. He was playing with the backups more than Anthony Davis was, more than Etuan Moore and Tim Frazier were. Those guys who had rough games, he was out there with Buddy Hield a ton. Buddy Hield was rough. Lance Stevenson was rough. He was out there with them more than Davis and these other guys were. So yeah, he's going to have a negative plus minus, and it's going to be a little bit bigger than the other guys. So it's not Cunningham the reason this team lost. The reason this game was lost is defense. Team defense. That simple. I'm going to give you a few quotes here. I don't have the audio from it. So Anthony Davis said this tonight. We had too many mental breakdowns. We're not talking. We're not talking out there. And so, therefore, we have mental breakdowns, which leads to easy layups at the basket and open shots. Yeah, exactly. If you guys aren't talking, think about this game. There were a couple miscommunications and mental breakdowns, let's call them. Let's go with his phrase here, where they double teamed the ball handler off a pick, not realizing that it's Mirza Teletovic who can shoot from three, and he's all of a sudden wide open on the three-point line because they don't realize who they're defending. And then Alvin Gentry said this much as well. I'm going to give you the quote here again. I don't have the audio. And he said, "In general, I thought we played harder, but we've got to start playing a lot smarter. We just have too many defensive breakdowns. We're not talking, so we're not switching when we're supposed to, leaving open three-point shooters. We're not talking on back screens, so we end up giving up a layup." Yeah, these are all things that the Pelicans did tonight. Anytime they cut that 10-point lead or so down to 2, 3, 4 points, they gave up a layup to a backdoor cutter because the weak side defensive help had his back turned. He doesn't know where the ball is. That's on Cunningham, too. That's on Solomon Hill. That's also on Anthony Davis. These guys weren't aware of where the ball was at times tonight. So when you have backdoor cutters coming through, they can't get over and help and slide over to play help defense because they don't even realize it's happening. Happened constantly last night. It's what buried the Pelicans in the fourth quarter. You know, I made a joke on Twitter. My favorite literary device is alliteration. And if I was writing a recap on this game, it would have been doomed because of defense, or something like that, and go with the alliterative title. This defense is what killed this team. Not one guy, not even coaching. It's mental breakdowns. These players screwed up at times. That's on Anthony Davis as well. That's on Dante Cunningham. It goes to Solomon Hill. He got beat at times. He wasn't looking around. That's really what it was. Go back and watch this game film, and I'm going to be curious to see once the tracking data is available tomorrow. The Bucks had way more open shots than they should have, and that's a result of, again, double-teaming the ball handler, not saying, hey, switch, get over, let me take this guy and get someone to cover the open three-point pick-and-pop man. That was the issue tonight. Until they figure this out, this Pelicans team isn't going to go anywhere. The offense is pretty good, especially when you get contributions from kind of everyone tonight. Again, Tim Frazier, 20 points. Etuan Moore, 17. Solomon Hill, 18. Anthony Davis with 35. They're scoring. It looks good at times. It's just they can't do anything when the defense is a sieve and is screwing up. And again, everyone kind of admitted to it tonight. Maybe things can change. Maybe the coaching staff needs to implement a simpler defensive scheme. The Pelicans already run one that's kind of simple as is. I mean, there are good things here, you know, but I don't think there's anything that's going to help this team until they can kind of figure out this defense. You heard them say communication is what they wanted to work on all offseason, and then they come out today and say they didn't do it. You're four games in. Maybe there's time for it to change, but you've had preseason, you've had training camp. When is the communication going to start coming? Either it is or it isn't. And right now, I don't think you're necessarily going to see it unless this team, you know, kind of gets their head out of the sand and fixes it and takes some ownership over it themselves. I mean, the Pelicans got to the line 41 times tonight. What more do you want from this offense? So it isn't on one guy. It isn't on this offense. It's the defense. That's the problem. It's as simple as that. I know people were really happy with their high defensive rating, but that was after three games. And in all of those three games, you could see there were issues with it. You know, maybe that has more to do with Denver turning the ball over and being so loose with it in game one than this defense actually being good. So no, we know what the problem is. It's defense. Alvin Gentry and the coaching staff need to figure it out. If they don't, you know, they're going to be on the hot seat at the end of this year. I don't know if they'll get fired, but they certainly can't feel comfortable about their jobs. All right, enough about the loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm getting fired up about that. I want to talk about the game tonight. New Orleans going on the road to play Memphis in Memphis. Quick one-game road trip before coming right back down to New Orleans to play the Phoenix Suns on Friday evening. Memphis is still Memphis, exactly kind of what you think, though. They've got a new head coach in Fizdale, who I really like, by the way. He's trying to make them a faster-paced team, though they still have Zebo and some of the other guys. They play with one of the slower paces still, though they kind of want to change that. But they're not yet there. They're still in transition. And so the Pelicans, who play with one of the higher paces in the league, really need to make sure they're dictating the pace of the game. Don't let Memphis play that still mini grind style, let's call it, that they're known for. Get them out and feeling uncomfortable, and you can definitely beat them. You know, this team, the Memphis Grizzlies, lost scored 80 points last night in a 116-80 loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Minnesota's, I think, first win of the season so far. So, you know, it goes to show you they had an awful night the other night. You know, again, you can beat this team. They're still not a great three-point shooter. They're better at shooting three-pointers, though they don't take a ton. So again, run these shooters off of the line. The Pelicans just need to dictate this game, and I think that's how they win it, basically. Play with a faster pace. Memphis has given up shots. Score your three-pointers. Get some contributions from other guys. And for the love of everything, just play smart defense and don't miss backdoor cutters. They still have Mike Conley, who's been playing exceptionally well for Memphis this season. He will pick you apart if you let him. So heads on swivels, communicating. When they set picks, don't double the wrong guy. That's what they need to do to win this Memphis game. It's as simple as that. I'm a bit exhausted after the game tonight and the loss to the Bucks. So, you know, I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. We'll recap the Memphis game, talk about what happened. Did the defense get better? Did the offense continue to play as well as they have? You know, or at least not tank the team, let's call it. But defense, that's going to be the focus. If they can get it done against Memphis, who isn't a great scoring team, that'll give them a bit of a boost. I don't think that's going to be, you know, something that shows all of their problems are fixed. Again, 80 points is a bad offensive showing last night for Memphis. So get these mental mistakes figured out, ironed out. Look at a lot of game film. on the plane to Memphis. And I think the Pelicans can maybe get their first win of the year. It's not going to be easy. They're still going to need another monster game from Anthony Davis. He's going to have a tough assignment with Marc Gasol. Gasol, who's really extended his range. He's hitting a bunch more three-pointers this year than he has before. So it's going to be a tough matchup for the Pelicans. They don't want to be staring 0-5. That's just going to put a lot of pressure on everyone, make them even more desperate, kind of just compound everything. And we'll see if they can get the win in Memphis tonight before they head back to the Smoothie King Center for a game on Friday. So that's going to be it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I think this one might be my longest one. Maybe the one with Mason when we were talking and did that little interview with him and chat might have gone longer, but this is the longest solo one I've done by myself so far. So thanks for sticking with me on this and putting up with me as I kind of really ranted a little bit about the defense but explained the mistakes to you. Hopefully they can get it done against Memphis tonight. We'll certainly find out. I'll break it down for you guys tomorrow. So thank you for listening. Again, don't forget to rate it on iTunes, Audioboom, wherever it is. Like it, subscribe to it, share it. Again, you're not getting this kind of analysis from anywhere else. No one's breaking down this defense and these problems like I am for you, and I mean that in all modesty. And it's been fun to do. I'm really enjoying bringing this to you guys 5 days a week. Like I said, we're getting the podcast out for 6 a.m. every day. That's kind of the goal I want, so I tend to record them the day before, the night before, depending. I'm staying up late for you guys. Come on now. You've got to give me 5 stars. So make sure you've got it. I, again, use Stitcher. That's my personal preference. That's what I use for podcasts when I'm taking the dog for a walk, working out, anything like that, driving in the little bit that I do right now. Make sure it just comes right to the phone. I plug my phone into the car and I can listen. When I was flying to Louisville and back, I had a bunch of stuff downloaded to listen when I was on the planes, and it's been absolutely wonderful. You know, just whatever it is, however you like listening to these shows, make sure you're getting them daily so you're not missing a thing. Things happen quickly. You know, the defense might look good one night, something else might be a problem another night. We want to break it down. You want to know what's going on. That's how you become, you know, the smart basketball fan in your friend group. So again, please listen, like it, subscribe to it, share it with people. So thank you guys for listening. I'm Jake Madison, your host of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Don't forget to check out the article I wrote on Bourbon Street Shots the other day about the Anthony Davis big man pairing. It'll give you a lot of insight there too. And we'll see you tomorrow with the game recap and hopefully a 1 in the Pelicans win column.